That's why we pay you the big bucks.
That's right.
Exactly.
Earning that spot.
It helps when you have some new blood in the show, because we're just stuck in the old rut.
Yeah.
It's old hat.
Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Oh, Scotty doesn't know. So don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know.
Fiona says. All right, and what's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk. I am drinking a good old vodka,
and
it's Cran Pineapple, but then after that, because it ran out, tonight's feature is Cran Grape, only 5 calories. All right. With the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday, we've got at least a little bit of football to talk about, including the NFC, AFC non-tackling display of somewhat talent. I guess they call it the
Pro XFL? Bowl.
Oh, yeah, there is that too. Oh, I see what he did there. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we also have an apparent debate that's been going on Twitter about Drew Brees' future. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then some news broke within the NBA, and Jason's got his box of wine. So we'll talk about that, as well as the Pelicans and the Jeff curse that continues to be true. And then we've got the final pick'ems, where we pick our Super Bowl selections, where we will also dive into the reality of the red and gold Super Bowl. But first, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What is your number?
I'll go with the zero, but I do have some wine. It's not in a trendy wine glass. I just stuck it in a cup tonight. But the box is here, as always.
Box of wine in a plastic cup. High class over here.
Classy. That's the way we do it. I mean, come on.
That's right. All right, and Jason, I see you're wearing your Pelicans shirt. And
of course.
I've got my Saints hat. Scott, welcome to the show. You have your Saints hat on. I'm assuming you don't have a number, so I'll just ask you how you're feeling.
I'm feeling good. Feeling real good.
Hi, Matt.
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's been a long day,
Matt.
But I'm ready to go.
Trash. Come on, Matt. Don't hate. You drink wine out of a plastic cup.
So let me check the live stream that apparently Jason's already ahead of me on. So we got Davis Douglas is here. Chris Sansbury says, yo, yo, yo. Which reminds me of old Conan O'Brien skit with the racist comedian robot, and he's anyway, I'll have to find it.
Yeah, right.
One day I won't try to do it, and we'll lose a lot of listeners. Aaron King says I can't get sound, but he is here, and you got sound now. There he is. Sandberries, I'll be waiting, yo. And Chris Sansbury, where in the hell is the box wine? There it is. Matt, he literally typed he says trash. She's trash. Who's trash?
Probably me.
So he's that messed up. He can't even type correctly.
Right, right.
Jason, unless he is calling you a she because you're drinking boxed wine. I don't know. But, oh, it's going to be it. Oh, Matt, who was – we talked about this. Matt's our old friend from back in the lifeguard days who was a guest on the show one time, and it was a Super Bowl preview show.
It was.
So he's tuning in for the Super Bowl preview show. So, Matt, tell us, whose costumes do you like the most?
It is an annual tradition.
Right. San Francisco or Kansas City. Who are you cheering for? In the meantime, let's start. He did say Jason is the she. All right. Let's start. Actually, let's start with the somber news and kind of. Out of respect, we'll talk, you know, obviously the news broke about Kobe Bryant. Helicopter crash, his daughter, Gianni, And I know of the other one of the other families. It was a coach from Oregon. His wife and one of his daughters. I think they leave behind two other kids. Response to that news.
Just a crazy, like when it came through the newswire. I mean, TMZ, because they report everything first. It's kind of crazy how TMZ is always the first one reporting it, and it's usually right. But when that came through, it's like, wait, what? Just one of those things where you just completely unexpected, you know? And that's why I think a lot of this has gotten so much attention, is because, I mean, the guy, he's at least a top 10 all-time player. You could argue he's a top 5 all-time player. And he only retired, 3 years ago. It's not like he lived to be 70 and then helicopter crash. Like, it's still... Like, has that ever happened? I know everybody's going to point to Thurman Munson back for the Yankees back in the day, who died in a plane crash or helicopter crash or whatever when he was, I think, still playing. But for a guy like Kobe to die so suddenly like that, when it's completely unexpected like that, it's not like he was 90 years old and they're like, all right, he's got to die soon, right? Like, you're expecting it. This is just, it was crazy. Just wild, man. And
it's not what you expected to wake up Sunday and that was going to be the news of the day.
And it just how it hovered over everything else that was going on Sunday. I mean, I didn't watch the Pro Bowl, but I was the golf tournament, and people were like, how the hell, you know, and that was held in California. So people were getting the news, and it's like, how do you go about doing it? And then all the games that were still being played. Like, I didn't, my dad had the tickets to the Pels game, so I didn't go, but all the games that day, and some of them were like basically ready to start when the news broke. It's just, it was just so sudden, so crazy. And but I respected him. I mean, I know how good he was. I respected him. I hated when they came into the arena just because it was 75% Lakers fans. You know, that's what pissed me off the most.
And he moved the needle.
And look, we didn't have basketball here for a long time. A lot of people chose the Lakers or the Bulls or the Celtics or whoever, but it just angered me that all these New Orleanians are not pulling for the New Orleans team. They're pulling for Kobe. But that does speak to kind of the draw that he had.
Some of the comments we're getting, rest in peace, Mamba, from Michael Hedden. Matt, says he's a great man as well, a great role model and father. Chris Sansbury, I think, I heard the same thing, Chris, that he was on his way to another kid's basketball event or Gianni's event or something.
Yeah, his daughter's game.
Yeah. And Vincent Burke saying, the only celebrity death I ever cried for, listening to ESPN radio coverage of it, I couldn't hold it together. And I'm going to sound like maybe a bit of a jerk, and maybe it's because I'm not an NBA fan per se. And I get the shock. I sympathize and empathize for his family that he leaves behind and everybody else's family that's left behind. But I don't, like, I didn't.
He didn't affect
check,
you.
It didn't put me in check, right?
Because he didn't like, you were just like, oh, Kobe Bryant, good basketball player. He didn't affect you at all.
No, I mean, and I get it. I'm not trying to downplay the significance of it. And I've talked to some people about it even today. The reason it makes some people pause is because of the suddenness. Because tomorrow's not guaranteed. But Scott, I mean, what do you think? I mean, do you agree with me and my cold black heart?
Well, first of all, I don't think I have a cold black heart. I can kind of get where you're coming from, just where he didn't affect you, and honestly, he didn't really affect me, I guess. I think the thing that kind of hit me with it is, one, that he's kind of around the same age as we are.
He's exactly the same age as me.
You know, so, you know, that, and the other thing that hit me too was just the fact that his daughter was with him. Just kind of, you know, being a father and imagining you're sitting there with your child in the helicopter and it's going down, and probably to see the look in her eyes and the fear, and there's nothing that you can do. It's like, it's, you're gonna crash, it's gonna happen. You know, I think that kind of hits with me. But I mean, yeah, you know, for the people that knew him and that are reacting and tweeting about it, I get it. But for the people that have never met him, or, you know, maybe they were inspired by him, I get it. But like,
I get that. Yeah.
I don't know.
And Vincent, right. And sorry to interrupt you, but like Vincent, you know, you lost it. You couldn't hold it together. Like I really am genuinely want to understand what about it was it what for you? Was it that it was somebody who inspired you? You followed his career, and I get that. And then that's why it probably didn't affect me as much, you know, or was it, you know, that, you know, you were kind of put your own mortality front and center.
Right. And it kind of, I think I texted you this earlier that it's, you know, a lot of people are like, well, go hug your loved ones or be nice to each other. Like it shouldn't take somebody's death to remind you to be a decent human being. Like you should do that every day. And I know it kind of maybe
it shouldn't, but it's stuff like that's going to, especially when look at, I know people die every day and freak stuff happens every day. Well, some random schmo in some town, other than his friends and family, nobody knows or nobody cares. But when, I mean, apparently, and especially like a city of Los Angeles, second most popular city in the country, when that many people apparently seem to have been inspired by him, or obviously, you know, I mean, the guy spent 20 years in a Lakers jersey, the longest tenured pro athlete in Los Angeles for the same uniform. When it hits that many people, it's going to affect so many more people in a sense, even though, look, I mean, the Carly McCord, her plane crash, like yeah, that's a right. crazy freak. Then, and yes, there were people here that were affected, and they kind of said the same thing, like call your loved one. It was the same reaction, just right. on a smaller scale, because not as many people knew her or were affected by her, I guess.
And it seems to be like lately, like there's been just kind of like, you know, the Carly McCord, Kobe Bryant, what was the other lady from New Orleans, the reporter, Nancy something.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know, Nancy Parker.
Yeah, I mean, just like boom, 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 three in a row, and all dealing with either planes or helicopters, or it's like just kind of crazy to, I don't know. It just, you know, makes me not ever want to get in a helicopter for sure. You know, and I know Jeff, you had tell that story. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because right, when we about a year and a half ago, we went to the Grand Canyon. And it was very windy that day. We had scheduled to be horseback riding, and they wouldn't even let us ride the horses because of the wind. And I guess they could.
Did you have the coconuts
at the Grand Canyon? Oh yeah, I get it. Where did you find those coconuts? All right. So anyway, they wouldn't even let us do that, and literally we got back to the Airbnb and on the news there was a helicopter tour that crashed in the Grand Canyon because of the wind where we were. I mean, we didn't see it. Apparently it was like between the time that we left, so we were sitting here, and we even had made a comment at the time, like, they're not letting us ride horses, but they're letting the helicopters fly with a gust of wind like that. Then we get married in Hawaii in September, and we get back from there, and about 2 weeks later one of the helicopter tours in Hawaii crashed and people died. And I think Andre was telling me there was another story where it was another helicopter crash. And yeah, I mean, if I never get in a helicopter for my life, that is not on my bucket list.
I'm with you. I am okay.
And she also kind of pointed out, she goes, you know, the other ironic thing about the entire thing is like, you look at how dangerous they are, but if you're in a medical emergency and you've got to go like from here to another hospital, they put you in a helicopter. You know, they don't load up the jet. They fly helicopters, which, and I get it. Like, at the end of the day, maybe it is safe. It's just the wind, which goes back to if they're flying in the dangerous situation. That's the part where it feels maybe, if anything, like the shock and the unfairness of it for him and all these people's lives is it kind of seems like it might have been an avoidable situation if they would have grounded themselves in all that fog.
And I think apparently that's like it was a very dangerous situation. And I was listening to an interview today, and there was an aviation guy on, and he seemed to think that, yeah, like it was super foggy. They probably shouldn't have been cleared to fly, but they were. And like the guy was going super fast, and it sounds like they didn't even see the mountain because of the fog. It was that dangerous out. So in a sense, maybe it's not like, oh shit, we're going down, and there's that, you know, 10, 30 seconds of fear. You're like, holy shit, my life's about to end. It's just, it was so instant. They were just flying, 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 and all of a sudden, boom, they ran into the mountain. Like, they almost didn't even see it in time.
It's almost like by the time you see, this fog clears and you see, it's too late.
Right, yeah, it's too late. It's too late. Oh. So, and obviously,
in a way, it's better than you know.
I would think that has to be better. I couldn't imagine that. That would be the worst feeling in the world going down. Like if you're in a plane or a helicopter, when you're going down, you're like, "Holy fuck, I'm about to die."
And I get right the human piece of it. Like it doesn't to me. Like it doesn't matter about the celebrity side of it. And Andrew, he had it when he got in the car after school today, and he was saying, he goes, you know what the sad thing is, like his wife, when she goes to make the kids lunches tomorrow, you know, and every day that she's used to making four lunches, and now she has to make three.
Well, in fairness, she's not making their lunches, the maid is.
Well, I understand.
But right. You get
a 12-year-old and he's like, for him to see it that way, you know.
No. I think that's where a lot of the emotion is. Like, it wasn't like it was just, I mean, you lost a daughter, the whole family has got to be dealing with this, and
Yeah,
it's just wild, man.
All right. So we pour a little out into our mouths.
It was cool that all the games yesterday, all the teams, including the Pelicans and the Celtics, they both ran off the 24-second shot clock to start the game because of his number 24. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, and then you had what's his name? Did the record? I don't know this part. Like he did a double with the score in 81.
Okay, so gee, okay. Speaking from as a non-basketball fan,
Jeff.
That's why you
at least I knew that much.
That's why you have a curse. So it was Trae Young. Initially he wore Kobe's number to start the game, but then like he finished like he and another guy combined for a shit ton of points, but I think he finished like 81% or 80% from something, which was like Kobe scored 80 or 81 points in a game one time. It was some weird stat to that effect.
Yeah, and it was the first time since he did it in 1990 or something like that, which I'm exaggerating, but maybe.
Yeah, he was in grammar school.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, right, he's our age, man. All right, so let's move forward at this point. I think we did it. Did the conversation justice.
Do you want to stick with the NBA while we're – and do our Pelicans talk now and move it to Saints in a bit, or do you want to just
say yeah, we can keep kind of clean that up, wipe the floor as it were.
Okay.
One real thing I will say. So I watched the which two games? Denver and
Nuggets was Friday.
Yeah, Nuggets were Friday, and then the one before that.
The Wednesday, the Zion's debut. The Wednesday game.
Yeah,
against
Zion's
the
debut. They lost both games because of the Jeff curse. I watch a game, they will lose. Jason said that's not true, Jeff. Just watch, you'll be fine. I did not watch Sunday night's game. What
and
happened?
Won. And we won against a good team.
Yeah,
Zion gets his first win. Yeah,
I swear, I don't know if I've ever seen the Pelicans win.
So I was thinking about this. We have to fix this somehow, because you can't go through your life never watching a Pelicans game. Like, we have to fix it somehow. So what if,
but we need them to win.
Well, here's the thing. Like, what if there's a game where like they're up by like 20 points going into the fourth quarter? I'm like, you know what? I think it's safe. Now, more than likely with the way Gentry's teams play, that team will come back, because it happened against the Celtics. We were up by 20 points, at halftime. And at one point, it got to 6 points in the fourth quarter. Now, eventually, they withheld it and went. But I could foresee being up 20 coming into the fourth quarter. You turn it on, it gets down to like 8, and you're like, that's it, I'm turning it off. And then they end up winning the game, and you're like, see, I told you. Like,
right. No. So, yeah.
You know, maybe you could come over and watch a game with me, and we'll cancel each other.
I tried going to games with Jason. I was there with Jason.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, well, wait. We watched. Okay. Hold on. The Pelicans Portland series, the playoff series where we swept them. We were up in Alexandria for game one or two, which they won. Now Jeff passed out on the couch. He didn't stay up for the game.
I didn't witness it.
He did pass out on the couch.
It's about my eyeballs. And maybe that's it. Maybe we start by like I'll have the game on, but I won't watch it. But it'll be on, but I'll be present. Yeah.
Murray.
There has to be some way to fix this. I don't know how, but there has to be a way.
All right, here nor there. Gentry, or talking about Zion and his big debut and his game
had
on
another
Sunday night, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was his first career double double. He had 21 points, I think 10, 11 rebounds. Just continues to make, like, he does one or two things a game that just make you say, holy shit. He had the giant block Friday. I mean, he had some nice alley-oops, a couple of other good drives the other day. It's just And it was another good crowd. I mean, that's the one thing. We've had three really good crowds these last games. So it seems to be that he is actually drawing people to the arena, which is a good thing.
Very good.
All right. Got anything to add? Before my next question, or let me ask you the next question.
What's the next question?
Gentry. So everybody's convinced that he won't be here next year. My question is, is it okay to just kind of let him go now and let the assistant coach carry us through an interim head coach situation? He's lost the team. I mean, I saw the Twitter video that somebody posted where he's drawing up the plays and the players just like
what the hell?
Right. It was eye opening when I saw that. I mean, not that I guess I was a little surprised, but look, I'm not a Gentry fan. I don't think he's a good guy, but he's
you
not
were.
Like if this team wants to win a championship, he can't be the head coach. He just can't.
Yeah. And now you were big on him, Jason.
I think that's Damon's speech. I thought he would be okay.
Okay, Damon spun it. Yeah,
Damon was
sucking his nuts. Yeah.
Right, like Damon hated him. He was a loser his whole career, and I was kind of like, yeah, I can't really argue with it. I was willing to give him a chance, but and that's the problem. It's been the same constant, no matter who's on the team. We have way too many turnovers. We play sloppy basketball, way too many turnovers. We take a lot of dumb shots, and we're just not – like we miss a shit ton of free throws. We're like third or fourth worst in free throw percentage. That's what lost us the game against the Nuggets on Friday. We got completely out rebounded. We had a bunch of turnovers and we couldn't shoot free throws. And it's the little things to win that he cannot coach.
Okay. Yeah, and you almost hope. I mean, you want them to make the playoffs, but you know if they don't, that could be the nail in the coffin. So it's kind of like, what do? Do you want them to make the playoffs and possibly make a little? I don't know if they make a run, but you know. I don't know. I don't want him to be rewarded for, you know, making an 8 seed or whatever. Like, he definitely needs to go.
Right. And that's like, if they miss the playoffs, it's easier to say, okay, bye bye, Donkeys.
Right.
Whereas if he makes the playoffs, it's like, you're going to fire a guy who made the. Although we did that to Monty Williams. He made the playoffs and we fired him.
Yeah. I was going to say, it wouldn't be the first time it's happened. So,
no.
Yeah. I don't know.
My question is, like, can you not just get rid of him now? Like, get rid of him.
I don't think it's going to.
I don't know that it'd do anything.
Right.
I don't know what his contract situation is either.
Well, he's got one more year. I think the problem is a lot of people in the organization really, really like him. I think they
and freaking do.
I agree, but these are the people making the fucking
winning
decisions.
Winning cures everything.
There's a lot of people in that building that are very secure and safe about themselves. There's not a lot of accountability for a lot of people in that building. Everybody's fairly comfortable.
The Saints are not the same way.
Both. Oh, bullshit.
I thought Sean Payton ended that when he got rid of Joe Vitt and Bill Johnson.
Yeah, but those are peons. I'm talking about like people. The people in power aren't going
front
anywhere.
Office. Okay.
Right. So I don't think they'll do that. It's like I think they want to encourage him to like after the season to like, hey, why don't you come work on the desk and stay working with us.
Which, if that's it, maybe that's a strength, right? Maybe that he might not be a bad guy to have in the building.
And that's what I think.
Be coaching the team,
100%.
Okay, yeah. All right, that's enough. I find the beauty and the irony that the Super Bowl is Sunday, and we are a Saints podcast. Granted, the Saints aren't in it. Football podcast, and we've spent the first 30 minutes talking about basketball.
Well, think about that too. With all the Kobe, like the Kobe news is going to dominate this week. Like the NFL owners have to be like, "Fuck Kobe." Like, I mean,
couldn't he wait until after the Super Bowl?
I mean, no, I 100%. Some of these owners are.
I don't think. See, that's where I disagree, and this goes back to the whole thing where I think everybody on Twitter and social media, boohoo, boohoo, boohoo. 24 hours, everybody's gonna be back to slitting each other's throat.
No, to an extent, but I think that the sports world focusing on Kobe all week when it should be Super Bowl week, I think.
I don't think it'll be all week.
By like Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be back to
Super Bowl. Media Day.
Well, hold on. Look, eventually Kobe's there's going to be like a public viewing or they're going to do something that won't be until Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like this Kobe stuff is going to be all week.
It's going to be for the rest of your life.
It's going to be all week.
It's going to be for the rest of your life. You're going to be hearing about this.
I mean you will. Some form or fashion.
Hey, look, not that I care. Cause to me, fuck the NFL. I don't give a shit.
All right. Well, speaking of that, let's talk about Drew Brees.
Tonight, we take a hold of this division.
Let's go, man.
Tonight, it's the start of our run.
Let's go, man.
When I say who are we, you say Saints. When I say are we ready, you say who?
Who are we, Saints?
Are we ready?
Who are we, Saints?
Are we ready?
Who are we, Saints?
Are we ready?
Yes!
Who are we,
Saints? D1 had to do this for the best quarterback in the league right now. Drew Brees. They call me the one-man army. And we got him saying,
so the next, yeah, we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl to the end. So Drew Brees, the big debate all of a sudden, and maybe it's because of Schefter making the comment and the whole Pro Bowl asking him about his future and whatnot. He's not making a decision until a month from now when it's all said and done, when he normally does.
Glazer also.
I have seen a whole lot of Saints fans go from we don't need him, we don't want him anymore, to, you know, and that fight, and then that was last week. This week, it's, I don't think he's going to come back. I think he's going to retire. On what, like, what do you believe, and why do you believe it? Scott, you go first.
I think he's coming back. I think for at least another year, possibly two. I really honestly think that he wants to stay in as long as Brady's in, just so he can keep his records. The only bad thing about that is, if him and Brady retire the same year, they probably come up for Hall of Fame ballot the same year. So,
and he's completely overshadowed.
Yeah, he's completely overshadowed at that point for the Hall of Fame. So maybe I don't know, but you know, I definitely think he comes back. And I think the reason why people are getting huffy puffy about it right now is because, one, you know, Russell Wilson gave up his starting position in the Pro Bowl. That kind of started it. Like, what does he know that we don't know? He knows, did you tell him something? And that's why he's starting or whatever.
Maybe he respects the GOAT.
Maybe.
Maybe it's simple as that.
Two, you know, the language that Drew's been using really isn't what we've heard in the past. But in the past, he's been under contract, you know, for the most part. But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to take a month and kind of see where I'm at. And then he's also, you know, I'm going to take it year to year, basically, and kind of reevaluate at the end of every year. And then I think throwing the whole Kobe thing into it, as far as, well, he's got a young family, young kids. Maybe he wants to spend time at home with the kids. Since this happened and this is a tragedy, maybe he's realizing his own, you know, that he needs to spend more time at home with his kids. I think that kind of plays a little bit into it. Maybe not a lot, but maybe a little, you know, because it puts him in that mind frame. But, and then you have Jay Glazer reporting, hey, you know, Drew and everybody saying, if Drew wants to come back, I'm sorry, Sean Payton saying, if Drew wants to come back, we'll take him back. But if not, we feel like we have Taysom Hill as our future franchise quarterback, which Drake Glazer reported, I think, today. So I think all that kind of created a perfect storm where on Twitter, it's like everybody's talking about it right now. So right. My opinion is he comes back for at least another year.
But a lot of people I'm seeing on Twitter feel like he's going to retire.
And a lot of people feel that too.
And nobody's really given much reason other than, yeah, like the Kobe thing. He's having an existential crisis or something.
Right.
But I personally am in the boat where as long as Brady's playing, he's playing. But then you do have the whole, but they're not going to retire at the same time.
I mean, I wonder if some of that does weigh into his head, because he will be completely overshadowed by Brady. Which is right. Going to be another fucking shame. I mean, he's been overshadowed by Brady and Peyton his whole fucking career. You know, he's got to be pissed off at that shit.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe Brady retires after this year. Or you know, because I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be back with the Patriots or not. You know, we'll kind of wait and see. I know Philip Rivers, apparently San Diego has decided to quote-unquote move on from Philip Rivers. He sold his house in California. He's living in Florida now permanently. Maybe he's just kind of, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to retire.
Do you think Drew Brees has a year of 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 games in him?
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe if he comes back and you got Taysom back here, maybe you have certain games where, like, hey, let's just have Taysom start this game and rest your arm. I mean, I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds crazy. But the five games that he missed this year were really a blessing. Like, he was playing so well at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say you can do that, but I'm spitballing here. I'm just trying to think, you know, could we do some weird shit like that where like we sit him a couple of games? Obviously
Sean Payton would be the kind of guy to do something like that.
But also yeah. Breeze is so competitive, like he wouldn't want to. You saw him on the sidelines.
That's kind of my whole thing where like if Brady plays, he's going to play. And maybe that's the whole everybody's asked. I think Sansbury asked what's the reason for that. And I think he's talking about the month. Maybe it's I'm going to wait and see what Brady does if he retires. Well, no, but he'll still play because he's not going to retire the same year.
What's almost if like if Brady keeps playing, maybe he retires so that way he doesn't go in the same time as him, Hall of Fame. I mean, like I don't know.
But I think the other side of that coin is if Brady plays, why is he going to retire? He wants to protect all his records.
Yeah, because Brady
touchdown record. If Brady plays, he's going to take that record from Brady.
He will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he was so shook. Riding Rise of the Resistance this past weekend that he doesn't know what to think. Like the ride affected him so much that he's just confused. He doesn't know what he saw. He's got to think about what he saw.
Jason, just think how close you were to actually being there when Drew Brees was there. Was it a week off?
It was a few weeks.
And then Sansbury, how do we know Brady will make his move in a month? We don't.
It's all speculation. Everything's speculation.
We're not going to be like Jay Glazer and Adam Schefter and act like we know more than what we know.
We're going to be the A darn Schefters of the world.
What?
He could be waiting a month too because, you know, I mean, he had the Pro Bowl. So, you know, he's been kind of not really focused on that, but kind of focused on, you know, playing in that, spending time with his family, kind of just get your. You know, kind of get your bearings and get your
all his investments too. You know, all his business investments.
You know, he's going to wait and see how he handles this Mardi Gras season before he makes a decision. Now that he's 41, he's like, man, I can't handle Mardi Gras like I used to.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't get the month thing. Sansbury says, which he says that's what he's always done. Is you let the football season play out and then. After that, you start to take.
Well, the month thing is because it's close to when like the when does free agency start? March 15th, 11th, something like that. I mean, that's what it always is. Usually,
kind of letting the process happen.
Right. I think that's all it is.
All right. So you brought up the Pro Bowl. Did anybody watch any of the Pro Bowl?
Not a second. Not a second.
I watched. I did watch. I saw Breeze throw an incompletion to Michael Thomas. I saw another play, maybe, and I couldn't watch. It was so boring. My kids did watch, and they did. They even said, apparently, like you're not. There's no tackling in the Pro Bowl. I mean,
none of these guys want to. I mean, they just assume turn it to flag football. Now, I will say, we went to go eat lunch somewhere around here, and it was on TV, so I saw a couple of plays, but I didn't go out of my way to turn it on. I did see him throw a long pass to not Ted Ginn, which is interesting when he's got a real –
How'd he do?
I mean, it was a great throw.
It was like a 59-yard pass or something.
I mean, you could throw when you got decent receivers around you, you know?
I can't remember. Who was it, too? I don't remember.
Galladay. Kenny Galladay. Yeah.
All right.
But, no, I mean, like it's crazy. Everybody bitches about the Pro Bowl. Like, yeah, the Pro Bowl, why even have it anymore? And yet, at the end of the day, I'm sure, like, 10 to 14 million people watched it. I mean, it crushes – in the ratings, no matter what, just because people love football. But I didn't go out of my way to watch it. I haven't watched the Pro Bowl in years.
All right.
I think the skills competition the day before is kind of better than the Pro Bowl. More entertaining, to me, at least.
Oh, yeah. That's where your boy didn't throw too well. AFC, damn it. His name is
Lamar?
Baltimore. Yes. Lamar. Didn't he miss everything?
I don't know.
I think he
didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it.
I heard he threw poorly.
Okay. Sorry, I was busy watching Tiger Woods.
He chose poorly.
Poorly.
All right. Let's see. Let's get then moving in.
We should probably look at these tweets.
Let's do some look at them tweets.
He's pounding down, loading up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like a bandit run.
Actually, okay, so Dalton Burke Breck says, and I feel like that's Dalton Belgard, said, we all know Breeze is coming back. Right, so that's his take. What do y'all see as the team's biggest need in the free agency this offseason? So, assuming, let's say Breeze comes back.
Right.
Is it wide receiver?
A wide receiver is an obvious. Now, I'm taking this like combination free agency and the draft. You know, what spots do you need to address? I mean, clearly, I think they need to address wide receiver, but I think another position we need to address is linebacker. I think that's a big position to address. Kiko Alonso tore his ACL, so he ain't coming back. Mr. Coach Klein is a free agent. So now the question is, do you bring him back? And Anzalone can't stay healthy. So
Anzalone, is he a free agent this year?
No. We have him for another year. So he will be back.
I mean, but can again, we let him go?
We shouldn't. He's too cheap. He's too cheap to let go.
We're paying a guy not to play.
But yeah, but only peanuts. It's worth
but
keeping him around.
A spot. He's taking a spot.
It's worth keeping him around to see if he can be healthy. Right. I mean, we're not going to bail on him yet, but that leaves us very thin at that position. To me, there are several free agent questions. I mean, Onyemata is a free agent. The defensive tackle position, Von Bell is a free agent. I think you could slide in Gardner Johnson in his place. But I think linebacker is a very underrated position that nobody's really talking about because everybody's like, oh, we need a receiver. But I think for sure we need a linebacker, either free agency or the draft or both.
Scott, agree, disagree?
I definitely agree. I think linebacker is something we definitely need. How they address it as far as in the draft or free agency, I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see. I'm not even sure what free agent linebackers are available. Wide receiver is definitely a need. I see them kind of maybe addressing that in the draft. The wide receiver pool in the draft is very deep this year. So I definitely see them possibly addressing that in the draft. Do y'all consider Drake on a bus at this point?
How much of it is how they're using him? But
I mean, he was hurt for a little while, but then when he's in there, he's kind of hot and cold. Like he can catch sometimes, but sometimes
bust.
But he has been disappointing.
Okay.
Emmanuel Butler is a bust.
Oh no! I mean, he's a.
I'm kidding. Andres Pete. No.
Yeah, he's not a bust, but he.
That might be a position that you need to address, but maybe not in free agency, maybe in the draft.
I would think, oh yeah, offensive lineman will probably be the draft because it's the cheapest way to get some depth. I think for sure they draft a lineman. Since Pete's a free agent, we're not bringing him back. Slide Easton in. That's why we paid Easton, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a couple of mock drafts. I know y'all like talking about mock drafts so much.
they are the best.
But, I saw Jefferson from LSU. It's a possible pick for us in the late first round.
It's funny because I'm like, well, I don't think we have a second round pick. So I'm like, we pick early enough. Maybe we trade down. And then I had to stop myself because the Saints don't do that. They never trade down. If anything, they trade up. So, We never trade down.
We always
trade up and get a player all the time. I don't know that we've ever traded down in Loomis's tenure.
All right.
So that's not going to happen. So I talked myself out of that pretty
quickly. So let's let that lead you into known free agents coming, like hit the board. Is there anybody that you are interested in?
I don't know who's a free agent.
I haven't looked yet.
Is that what the laugh was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Right. During the season, I cared about the Saints, and I said, fuck all the rest of the team, so I don't know who their free agents are going to be.
Cajun Thane asked, do you guys think that Kamara was injured for the Pro Bowl? Again, I didn't watch it to know what he did or didn't do.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Did he not play, or did he play, like, just kind of walking on crutches or something?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
All right, you have to tell us, Cajun Saint. All right, that's all I got for the tweets. Asked for them a little late. My fault.
Hey, at least we got to talk about the Saints a little bit.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. All right, now let's get into Pick'ems.
Okay. It's time to play the game.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game.
But you already did the poll, the poll positions, and we also already know that
we know who the winner is.
Beat Sans Hobbs, so this is really more like a Pro Bowl version of Pick'em. We're doing
So you've got your Super Bowl, you've got your San Francisco 49ers, the hated old rival of the Saints from the old NFC West, travel to Miami to play the Chiefs in Super Bowl 54? Is that the number?
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Sure. Who cares? Back in Miami. I really thought the Saints would be back in Miami on the 10-year anniversary. The Super Bowl didn't happen. Kansas City is favored by one. It appears to be a very close contest.
Yeah, to pick them.
But you know what, though? Like, everybody's like, oh, man, this San Francisco defense, man, you they're so tough. Didn't the Saints shred them for 45 points just like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
Didn't one of their key players either get hurt or not play?
Joey Bosa was still playing, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Enough of their guys were still playing. 45 points? I don't care who's missing. You still, like, they still have enough players to play. We scored 45.
It's also Sean Payton.
Well, Andy Reid's a pretty good caller, and he's got a pretty good quarterback with him in Patrick Mahomes. You know,
but my thing is, if you look at Kansas City, each of these playoff games, they went down early. That's what she said, and they had to fight back. And honestly, the divisional game, some of that was luck. Like those three touchdowns to get them back in that game, that was magic. That can't be planned, or, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Sometimes seasons are magical.
I get it. But now at this point, when looking at the game and trying to make a pick for Pick'ems, you have to kind of put that into context. Say Kansas City, without that magic, might not even be in the AFC Championship game, and it would have been Houston.
But you know what? They're here.
I understand that. So I'm taking San Francisco. As Scott told me, I had to. I'm taking the point.
The point. I can't believe you, as a longtime Saints fan, are taking San Francisco. That's almost like taking Atlanta. Not quite.
The funny thing is, I want Kansas City to win the game.
I know. Are you pulling your old you watch Pelicans game aspect? Well, I'm definitely taking the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are better. I think the Chiefs are going to win pretty handily.
Yeah,
I am taking the Chiefs as well. I just think they have the offensive firepower to do it, and a good enough defense to hold your
whole
Jeff's Jimmy down.
And fuck the 49ers.
I love it when my Jimmy's held.
Oh, God.
By my wife.
My wife.
All right, now, seriously, though, talk about the game. I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick while y'all begin talking about just the game in general. What you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think there's a lot of Kobe conversation this week. I don't know. I just – it's weird. I mean, I know people are going to talk about the Super Bowl, but this is going to be a weird – this is going to be a weird Super Bowl for the Kobe reason, because I think it's just going to hang over a lot of the week.
Yeah, and I think you'll see a lot of, like, I guess maybe on-field tributes to him when a touchdown scored, or somebody writing something under cleats, or, you know, whatever. Maybe even during the halftime show they might have something – you know, go on. I'm sure the NFL will come up with some kind of way to pay tribute at some point in time. The Super Bowl is the best way to do it. You know,
they'll bring Colin Kaepernick out in a Kobe jersey.
Yeah, that'll work real well. You know, I definitely see, like we said, see Kansas City winning the game.
So, so here's the thing. Look, Garoppolo passed six times. NFC,
I think it was 6 for 8.
Eight times? So, like, yeah. I know Spags is a coordinator for Kansas City, but I feel like Kansas City has to make Garoppolo throw the ball. I mean, can he do it?
I think he can do it, but I don't – I think it'll be kind of like Kansas City's two previous playoff games, where San Francisco might go up early and then Kansas City comes back. Like, I see it playing out the exact same way as their other playoff games did.
You know, because I'm trying to remember the Saints game against Frisco. We all just assumed, oh, Frisco's going to try to run all over us, and we have the top 10 rushing defense, and they're not going to do it. And they came out passing. And that's really what kind of caught us off guard was their passing game early. So I'm wondering if they try to kind of pull that tactic, because they're just assuming after the giant rushing performance against the Packers that Kansas City is going to do whatever they can to stop the run, and they're going to come out and try to throw the ball instead.
Yeah. I definitely think Schottenheimer have a good game plan going into it. It's going to be
– You mean Shanahan?
Shanahan, sorry.
Shanahan.
It's going to be kind of like – almost like the LSU game where you're going to have to make adjustments and kind of figure out what the other team's trying to do and make adjustments to them. And I think Kansas City can do that. Jeff, you weren't there, but I said that I think Kansas City – possibly will get behind in the game early, kind of like they did their other two playoff games.
Classic Kansas City.
And then come back and win.
But and that's my thing, is they could come back against these other teams. I don't know that you – can you come back
– Absolutely.
– against San Francisco?
Yes. If the Saints can put up 45, Kansas City can put up points too.
The Saints are the only team who have been able to do something. And maybe Seattle.
So far.
Yeah.
Seattle, fucking Seattle, man.
I mean, look, honestly, though, I mean, to me, granted, you know, I'm not as so bitter that I can't watch the game. I'm actually looking forward to this game because I do believe this actually might be a good competition. This game might actually be an entertaining Super Bowl, which we haven't seemed to have in a while.
Well, we are coming off the most boring Super Bowl in history last year, which I didn't watch. So
yeah.
So, at least nobody in New Orleans watched, or right. Louisiana for the most part.
So speaking of that, Jason, is New Orleans planning another boycott bowl kind of thing? Is
this no, I think we're back to normal. I think everybody's going to be watching the Super Bowl again. I think that was a one-time deal.
Yeah.
Even though we all still hate the NFL, I'm assuming a lot of us still hate the NFL. I think we're, you know, last year it's
like wrestling. You hate it, and you know Roger Goodell is Vince McMahon, but you watch it because it's like that hate.
Well, but it's not just that. We're still football crazed. Like, we only did it last year because they actually fucked us, and we actually had to tell people, hey, don't watch Super Bowl. And there were still a lot of people around here that did.
And we turned it into a party. You know, that's the whole thing. That's what New Orleans does. We turn everything into a party, and that's also, I think, a reason why New Orleans doesn't get overly worked up about most things, unless it's, you know, a dead body hanging from a pile of debris. But I don't, Scott,
hanging between a rock and a hard rock place.
What a fucking shit show!
It is, God. A fucking shit show, man.
Jesus, what a shit show!
It's amazing how they can't ever elect competent leadership for the city. It's stunning.
It's impossible.
The voters just vote for the name that they recognize. You know what I mean? It's celebrity, whatever. Anyway, we're not a political show. So James Cubitt says there were a couple of fluke or trick plays when the Saints played the Niners that would have to go their way again if Kansas City is scoring on them. Very valid point. That's right. You're right, James. The Saints would have won that game had San Francisco played an honest game.
Right. And, I mean, you got to remember, too, Cook was having a really good game until they knocked him out.
In the first quarter, you know, right?
Right.
He had two touchdowns. And they knocked
him out. We put up 45 points without him in most of the game. You know, Travis Kelce ain't a slouch. You know what I'm saying? For Kansas
City. It was the test of the Pierre Thomas all over again.
Yeah. Our UK brethren will appreciate that joke.
Yeah.
Or so any Monty Python fan.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know if I'm going to a party or not. I'm sure I'll watch it. I mean, look, it's going to be the last football game for 8 months,
You're
9 months.
Watch. Don't even act like you're going to watch.
Jeff, you're having a party at your house, right?
No, That's what I heard.
I'm a not.
I am going to have the kids, and I'm going to watch it with the boys. And Jake, for whatever reason I did wrong as a father, Jake is a San Francisco fan, unless the Saints are playing him, in which case he's got both hats lined up in the room to wear whatever.
Oh, God. Wears. Okay, so so when the 49ers lose, you have to turn to him and go,
oh, me and Andrew have already planned it.
Okay.
Nice.
We're going to both sandwich him and sit on either side of him, and when that last clock ticks, exactly like you just did. That's exactly what we're going to do. But if and then I'll console him a little bit, you know. It's, you know, hey, now you know how Saints fans feel.
Yeah, all right.
Actually, no, you don't, because we've never lost a Super Bowl.
True.
That'll be another burn, and then we'll probably do about 6 more burns before the time. Yeah, and they'll cry slowly.
And then you go, your team is such pathetic losers.
Just as he's falling asleep, and the lights are all out, and you know. 30 minutes past bedtime or whatever, I'm going to barge into the room, turn on the lights, like, ah! Probably how I'll wake him up the next night. You know?
And then you console him with a box of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Just walk around doing a tomahawk.
San Francisco
shop
theme.
All day.
Yeah. It'll be San Francisco, Kansas City theme all week.
Oh, hey, what's for dinner? Burnt ends.
Oh. KC masterpiece on the that Super Bowl was a KC masterpiece.
Shit, do they still make that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's a barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Well, I know it's a barbecue sauce. I just wasn't sure if they still made it.
Yeah. All right. What else y'all got? Anything else? Final thought.
I mean, LSU hired a defensive coordinator today. Bo Pelini.
I've heard of him.
Defensive coordinator in 2007 when they won the national championship. He left, went to coach Nebraska, head coach in Nebraska. Not very successful there.
How'd that work out for him? Yeah,
yeah, not great.
He's the head coach at like Youngstown State.
Yeah, Youngstown State.
Mostly he's known in at Nebraska for during the spring game carrying a cat out the tunnel with him when leading the team out of the tunnel, which is kind of funny if you go look at pictures of it.
Now he can carry a big cat.
There you go. Hopefully, you know, he'll bring some veracity back to the defensive line. Maybe he'll get rid of Bill Johnson. And
they are paying him a lot. I was a little surprised. I mean, I knew he wasn't going to come cheap, but I mean, they're paying him right. Like $2.3 million, I think, which is a lot, but he did a good job with the defense.
He did a very good job. I was reading something. They were like, for the 3 years he was here, they ranked third in yards given up every season that he was here. Yeah. So, you know, he definitely has the chops and the what's the word, the resume to do
the
a good job.
Skin on the wall.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I don't necessarily like – I don't know. I feel like once you leave a program, you – I don't know. I don't like going backwards, I guess, in anything. So I don't know if it feels like we're going
– But you liked Bo Pelini when he was here, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I liked him when he was here. So,
okay. So – and now with him with Coach O.
I just hope he has a awesome mojo or whatever, you know.
I don't know.
Sure, it'll be fine.
Sometimes when a guy goes off, he finds out I'm not a head coach. I'm a coordinator. That's what I do.
Right.
That's what I do well. Yeah. And somebody else can handle the head coaching. But head coaching is a completely different thing than
– Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people will tell you even that the head coach is not a whole lot of coaching. It's managing, right? And it's recruiting, and it's the business right. side of things more than it's the game.
And so then the big chair.
And maybe – yeah, and maybe Bo – is not he doesn't you're not the CEO of the football team. He's a football guy who's now all he has to do is focus on his area, and that might work out for him.
All
right. Random thought, totally apropos of nothing, but the whole Wade Phillips getting let go of the Rams,
right?
How has he been on the path where he goes to teams, builds amazing defenses, and within 2 years he's gone, fired, cut from teams?
Ageism.
His whole career. I mean, when he was younger, this was the deal.
I mean, he was a head coach once or twice. He was a head coach in Dallas, right? Wasn't he?
Dallas, yeah.
And I mean, he failed. He failed as a head coach.
I'm
but
not
it, it is
head
kind
coach,
of,
but as a defensive coordinator, it right, was it one seems, of the greatest in the history of the league. Can't hold a job.
I see what Blaine did. Well, they did. I don't think they had a good season this year on defense, which is crazy because they apparently have a shit ton of talent in their defense. Now I don't know if like he comes in and he gets some and then he loses guys. I don't know.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I don't know if he gets like when he comes in at first, he's sets a ball of fire and then he kind of, like I said, either loses guys or just the teams figure him out or what. But it's kind of like Rob Ryan, like he was good when he first got here. And then as he went on and on, teams kind of started figuring out what he was doing. And then,
that is such a stunning, like Rob Ryan came in here and we were like the fourth ranked defense, like, holy shit. And then we were the historically worst defense.
Well, you got to wonder at that point, right? How much of that was execution, but versus him, but I don't know. Like you said, you lose the guys, you lose the team.
Yeah.
You,
I don't know.
I believe they call that a gentry. You've been gentrified.
Gentrified. That's funny.
Gentrification of the defense. Jason, what's your final thoughts?
That's a good question.
You don't have any. I've got more LSU stuff.
I'm happy to.
Maybe we should have just done an LSU segment, not a final thought.
Yeah,
whatever you want to call
it. About it. Actually, yeah, we're not on final thoughts. Scott, continue with the LSU segment.
Sorry. LSU basketball continuing to play well. They beat Texas this past week by two. They are 15-4 in the season, 6-0 in SEC play. They are sitting on top of the SEC, the only undefeated team in the SEC.
Back so in playing, the top 25.
Yes, definitely. They're ranked 22, I believe, right now. A couple of players got players of the week this week. Will Wade had a press conference today where he was still kind of pissed off and wasn't happy how the team's performing. Even though their record, he's like, that's not going to cut it. That's not going to fly. He's like, these guys are about to find out in practice what's about to happen. So I would have been scared to go to practice today because he was pretty fired up. He's like, we got a lot of stuff we got to get fixed. They're shooting very well from the free throw line. Just getting too many like crazy, silly turnovers. And I believe they have Bama coming up soon. I'd have to check, but I believe they have Alabama coming up. Is their next SEC game. So Alabama's a good team, coached by Avery Johnson. So hopefully they'll continue on their winning ways. But they can't. They get a big lead, and then they lose it, and it ends up being a close game. It's kind of what their MO has been so far this season. So we'll see how it goes. 18 days till baseball season starts. February 14th, Valentine's Day, LSU baseball starts.
We're laughing at Debbie's comment.
Yeah. What'd she say? Sorry.
I am late. Fell asleep. Sorry.
There you go.
That's okay. We all fall asleep.
Yes, it happens. I think that's it for LSU stuff. Unless you want to talk about it. I can talk about LSU gymnastics if you want to be first.
That's all right. Jason, final thoughts.
My final thought, the Masters is 73 days away.
All right. Scott, how's that gymnastics going?
Oh gosh. Oh, by the so okay, so speaking of that, my final thought. So I caught I was flipping through channels. I think it was Saturday night. We'd gone dinner, we'd come back. Or maybe it was before dinner. I don't know. Anyway, because Tiger was back playing this week, they were showing the Masters highlights from last year, 2019. And they on Golf Channel, they do a Masters highlights whatever year, and it's an hour special. They go through the four rounds, show all the different guys, whatever. So they were showing the 2019 highlights. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me see. So they showed highlights. They were on the Friday, which is the day I was there, and Tiger made a move that day, and they show a hole. And I remember being on a hole where he made like a 25-foot birdie right in front of our faces. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So they showed that hole. I'm like, oh, let me see if I can see us. The original thing happened. I'm like, no, I don't think that's us. But Renee's like, well, why don't you stop and go back and pause it? So I stopped, went back and paused it, found my dad and me. So I am permanently, whenever the Golf Channel shows 2019 Master highlights, I'm on it. So good, that's my final thought. Tiger week! Jason week! Right.
So the other last thing is we do have a little bit of news that we're going to announce the final announcement after the Super Bowl. But I will say that if you are a fan of the Saints UK podcast, then you're going to like this news. We've been spending a lot of time with them off air, and I think we might have a plan in place where if you listen to one or the other, you'll be pleasantly surprised or pleasantly whatever. I don't know. It'll be pleasant.
Pleasantly whatever. are we turning into the MCU here? Are we starting to be interconnected?
Yeah. I think that's a good way to maybe look at it.
The DPU.
That's a neat, the DP, ooh, DPU.
Oh, God.
That sounds like a movie of a certain type.
Jesus.
That you might have to watch.
Where are we talking about that at the start of the show?
The DPU?
Yeah, let me just put it in their butt.
All right. So, by the way, Blaine, I don't know if he was on skateboarding on Vets, but he did say that he was dog-sitting in Metairie and had car issues. He wasn't happy. And Debbie says, yeah, I was at a bus stop. I-A. She must have fell asleep again.
That narcolepsy gets you every time.
Okay. And then, I guess that will be the end of it.
Well, we need to do the outro, right?
Yeah, outro. I gotta pull it up and my computer went to sleep over here. All right.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so did Deb.
That's the name of my computer, Deb.
That's the name of the episode. We fell asleep.
All right. So, yeah, we didn't get to – you know, actually, before I have a final thought, and it's kind of like along the what you watching. Hmm. So I didn't catch the – I did catch Curb first episode. Hilarious.
It was great.
I hope that show never ends.
I watched episode 2 today. It was good.
I haven't seen it yet.
The Outsider, I believe.
Yes. I didn't watch last night's yet.
Didn't watch last night's either, but the first 3 episodes, good. Talk about that. And then what else new did we watch then? 911 Lone Star.
Oh, the one with Rob Lowe?
Yes.
Was he wearing his NFL hat?
It was pretty good. I don't. There was a little bit of a gratuitous liberal agenda, and politically, I lean center, if not, I'm conservative on some issues and left wing on some issues. But
say you're a rational person.
Yeah. There you go. But even like that show was maybe the most overtly woke agenda type show that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That being said, still a good show. Like I'm gonna watch it. Like great story, great character development. I'm curious to see where they take this. Great show.
Avenue 5 is pretty good on HBO as well.
I watched the premiere.
I watched the second one today. It was good.
Okay. Haven't watched the second one yet. I did watch the premiere.
It's pretty funny.
Anybody? Neither one of y'all watched Picard.
No.
I don't have CBS All Access. Sorry.
Well, you can. I'm watching Cody. You know.
I also incriminate yourself. Right, sorry.
I mean, I know.
Well, but also, like, I never watched The Next Generation either. So
I didn't either. But I would imagine that you don't need to. Although I watched like the first 5 minutes of it, and I was kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it's not that great.
Kind of like Lost in Space.
But
negative.
No, that's a great show, Lost in Space. Please, people, tweet Jason and tell him to watch Lost in Space. It's awesome. And I am open to anybody's recommendation. I'm kind of in the mood for a sci-fi show or movie, kind of around time travel.
Well, the good thing is I've only got one episode left of The Umbrella Academy. I'm almost done with that. And there is time
travel in it.
There is.
Ooh, all right. I'll give it a try.
There's this movie that came out a while back called Back to the Future. You might like it. It's got time travel in it.
Or how about Hot Tub Time Machine?
There you go.
Something I haven't seen, fellas.
I know this is going to say make me sound whatever, but Cheer on Netflix is pretty good. It's by
the
people that made
Grant was like, it's amazing. You need to watch
it. I watched it. Well, I've watched it based on Grant's recommendation. And it was good. It's made by the same people that made Last Chance U. So it's pretty good.
Okay, Jeff, I got one that involves time travel. I don't know where you can find it, but it's called Safety Not Guaranteed.
Would you just randomly Google it?
No. I've watched it.
Okay. Safety Not Guaranteed.
Safety Not Guaranteed. Has Mark Duplass, Judge Akai. Yeah. And Aubrey Plaza.
Right. Her.
That's interesting.
All right, so that, and then we did watch Countdown, the movie. about, it's a movie about the app that you download, and it tells you, it's a horror film, and it tells you how long you have to live, you know, and like one of them, the person is like, oh, 6 hours or something, and they're like, ah, and then she dies. And anyway, it's actually good.
Are there helicopters involved?
Decent.
Oh.
Oh. Too soon?
I mean, and I was kind of the most Kobe, the most pro Kobe.
Yeah, look at
person
you.
On this.
All right.
So there's that, and then what else did we watch? There was something else. Oh, Gemini Man with Will Smith. And Will Smith. It was good. You know, it's kind of like a good old fashioned kind of like 90s, it almost like Eraser, or, you know, like I'm trying to think of those 90s action films kind of there. It wasn't anything deep. Basically, it was an excuse for Will Smith to CGI himself, and it's like old Will Smith versus the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Did he get paid double, you think, for doing that?
I don't know. But I can't, maybe that's part of the movie, is like I couldn't help but fixate on, well, like, is this CGI or is this makeup? And I think it was CGI.
Probably.
Well, anyway, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and I should read this. All right. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation, like us on Facebook to watch the live broadcast, and subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And, of course, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, DomePatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Mamba donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
I know all that you've been through. Feeling like you might not make it alone.